Parshas Bahar, Tavshin Mem Vov. We're in the middle of the Shiurim on Pirkei Avos. We're in the middle of the first Perek, and we're up to the third Mishnah in the first Perek of Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Antignois ish soichoi kibel mishimon atzadik. Antignois from soichoi received from Shimon atzadik. He was one of the closest, if not the closest student to Shimon atzadik. And his most outstanding statement was, "Hu haya omer." He used to say, "Al tihiu kavodim hamishamshnes harav almanas lekabel pras, elo hevu kavodim hamishamshnes harav shelo almanas lekabel pras." His advice to the Yidden was that a Jew should not be like a servant or a slave who is serving his master on condition to receive some type of reward, some type of token of appreciation. Elo hevu ka'avodim hamishamshnes harav shelo yalmanas lekabel pras. But rather we should be like servants or slaves who are serving our master without the condition that we'll only do it if we get a reward for it. Vihi moira shamayim aleichem. And the fear of Hashem should always be upon you. These were the words of Antignois Ish Soichoi. And the Meforshim on this Mishnah, as on all of these Mishnahs, have a lot to say. Number one, the Rambam Zal explains the use of the word pras rather than the term schar, that schar is a term used to refer to payment for services rendered, regular payment that's usually made up in advance before a person performs some type of service or sells some type of merchandise, that they are going to be paying this and this amount for it. Whereas pras refers to a bonus type arrangement, where a person does something that's above and beyond the call of duty, and he's given an extra reward, an extra portion for having done this extraordinary item. So the Rambam Zal explains that what the Mishnah is saying here, Al tihiu kavodim hamishamshnes harav almanas lekabel pras, don't be like servants who are serving your master with the purpose in mind of getting something extra for it, meaning that if you're going to put extra effort into religion, into serving Hashem, you're going to do it only on the condition that there's going to be some type of a bonus involved. Ella, why should you be doing it? You should be doing it out of love for Hashem. This is what the Meforshim explain is the underlying theme of this Mishnah, that the goal that a person should be striving to achieve in serving Hashem is to get to such a level where a person acknowledges and understands the existence of Hashem to such a point where a person develops a deep love for Hashem, and this love alone is enough to justify a person doing extraordinary things for the sake of Hashem. So that when a person wakes up early on a winter morning and it's very cold outside and he's got to get dressed and walk out of the house when it's still dark to go to shul, to go to the mikveh, to do these mitzvahs, the motivation for it and the reward for it is simply the happiness that the person feels in being privileged to serve Hashem. When a person gets to that point, that's when he knows he's achieved a major milestone in coming close to Hashem. When a person has achieved this level of ahava, this love towards Hashem, where the reward is not something that he's looking for in the future, but the act of serving Hashem is extremely rewarding to the person in itself. And still, Antignois warned, Vihi moiro shamayim aleichem, that whenever we are going to discuss the concept of love for Hashem, a Jew should never think that a person can get to a point where his relationship with Hashem is going to be one of love alone, and that will suffice. Because the Torah warns that there are certain times in a person's life when he's not that happy, or when he's in a difficult circumstance, etc., where if the relationship with Hashem were only one of love, the love has its high points and it has its low points. Whereas, if a person is able to supplement the love with fear and respect at all times, This guarantees, this ensures the person that even when the person is in a state of yirida, when the love towards Hashem and the understanding of the mitzvahs is not that great, even then, the simple fear alone of getting burned in Gehenna for committing sins or for wasting time that could have been used to perform mitzvahs and using that time for nothing, that fear alone will be a motivation for the person, will be a backup system to support the person even through these yiridos. This term, moira, could either refer to fear, such as yiras ha'inish, fear of punishment, which Rabbeinu Zal talks about very highly in Sichos Saran, or it could also refer to the yiras ha'remimus, an awe and respect for Hashem that also gives the person a certain type of motivation for serving Hashem properly. Now we find that the Gemara throughout warns that a rabbi should be very, very selective in terms of the students that he teaches Torah to, because of the fact that the Torah is a volatile item, it's dynamite, and it's something that could be used very constructively or very destructively. The Torah warns that a rabbi should be careful to be selective about the type of students he's teaching to. And he should choose students where he feels a certain level of confidence that when they hear the words that he's speaking, they're not going to misinterpret what he's saying. They're going to construe it properly, and they're going to use his words to bring them, to bring themselves closer to Hashem, and to bring others associated with them closer to Hashem. Whereas, if a person sees that there is a student who wants to come and learn, but his purposes for learning are not sincere, it's not that whatever he's going to be taught is the right thing to do, he's going to go ahead and carry it out, but he'll learn about going to the minyan or about other things like that, and yet he's still going to remain, he's still going to continue in his old ways, in his bad ways, he's not going to be looking to change, to improve, to grow on a constant basis. Here the Torah warns that there is danger involved in teaching such a student. And we find that there are different examples brought throughout the history of Klal Yisrael of cases of outstanding good students and otherwise. We find, for example, an interesting story that's brought by the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, that there was an occasion where the Baal Shem Tov received a message from heaven regarding a certain one of his students, that there was something wrong by this student. And this student was always in the habit of writing notes on the shiurim of the Baal Shem Tov. He would write down every word that the Baal Shem Tov would speak, he would try to write it down. The following day, after the Baal Shem Tov had received this message, he asked this student to present his notes to him, and the Baal Shem Tov, in looking, reviewing the notes of this student, commented that not one word that was written in these notes was true, had come from the Baal Shem Tov, that this student had actually misconstrued and misinterpreted and misread every single word that the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh had taught. One of the earliest examples in the Torah that's brought about this type of situation pertains to two of the Talmidim, two of the students of Antignois Ish Seichoi. The Gemara says, and the Rambam and Rashi HaKadosh quote this item, the fact that Antignois had two Talmidim, one by the name of Tzadik and one by the name of Baisus. And these two students, upon hearing this Mishnah, this statement, which their Rebbe quoted frequently, regarding the topic of reward, that a person should not serve Hashem for the sake of reward, they misconstrued what their Rebbe said, and they took it to mean, possibly, that the Rebbe was implying that possibly there is no reward, possibly there is no Olam Haba or Gan Eden. And they allowed this item, they discussed this item among themselves, and each one of the two fed the other one the wrong type of information, the wrong type of attitude and thoughts, and as a result of this misinterpretation, they decided to leave their Rebbe. They decided that the words of the rabbis seemed to be very jumbled, because one minute they're telling us about Olam Haba and about reward and merit, and the next minute they're telling us there is no reward. They decided, as a result of this item, to go off on their own. And they started teaching Torah Barabim publicly, and they started attracting followers. But in order to attract more followers, and in order to further their personal ideals and goals, they started accepting an ideology whereby they only believed, they thought that they only believed in the written Torah, in the Torah Shebichsav, which is the word of Hashem. That's what they construed to be the word of Hashem, the written Torah, the Chumash, the Nevi'im, whereas the words of the rabbis, as presented in the Gemara or in the Kabbalah that was passed down from Moshe Rabbeinu to the next generation and so on and so forth, all of those items that weren't written down clearly in the Chumash or in the Nevi'im, this they rejected. And their followers became known as the Tzedoikim, the students of Tzedoik, the followers of Tzedoik, and the Baisusim, the followers of Baisus. The Rambam Zal mentions that during his time, which is the era of the 1100s, the 1200s, during his time in Mitzrayim, where he lived, there were still followers of these types of people, and they were known as the Karoim, the Karites. This is another name for these type of people who think that they're accepting the words of the Chumash without the words of the Gemara or the Shulchan Aruch. And this is a major point that all the Rishonim and Achronim and all the Tzadikim discuss, the fact that a Jew cannot be a Jew, cannot be classified as an observant Jew, unless he accepts the words of the oral Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, in the same exact light as the written Torah, the Torah Shebichsav, the Chumash. And in fact, Rav Nosson Zal points out in Likutei Halachos that it's the Gemara, the Torah Shebaal Peh, that distinguishes between the Goyim and Lahavdil the Jews. Because even by the Goyim, the non-Jews, there is a concept of an acceptance of the Torah Shebichsav, a Bible, an Old Testament. To whatever extent they live by it is another story, but at least there is a concept of this by them. The distinguishing factor, that item that places a Jew apart and above the Goyim Lahavdil, is only the Emunah, the faith, and the study of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah. And it's only this Torah that a person who accepts this can be classified as being a real observant Jew. The Gemara warns based on this, the Mefarshim warn based on this incident of Tzodek and Baisus, how much a rabbi has to be mispalel to Hashem, that his words should not be misinterpreted or misconstrued in any way by the students present, but that he should have a koyach hasbora, he should be able to explain his words so clearly that there shouldn't be a possibility of his words being taken the wrong way. At the same time, there certainly is an obligation and a responsibility on the part of a student attending a shir to be mispalel, that Hashem should give him the right ears to be able to hear what's being said properly, and again, not to misconstrue anything that's being said. This is one major point from this Mishnah. The other point that Rabbeinu Zal stresses, and all these forums stresses, the fact that, as we said earlier, that even though we're talking about ahava, love for Hashem, there's always a warning that the love cannot be without a yira associated with it. And we find, in fact, that Rav Shimshon Ostropolye Zal, in conjunction with the Arizal, says that you'll note that within the word yira, which means fear, the second half of the word yira, the letters aleph hey, represent the first half of the word ahava, the aleph hey of ahava. And this is to teach us that if a person is working at arriving at this level called Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, both fear of punishment and this fear of the awe of Hashem, a person working on these items automatically, as he advances within the framework of Yira, of fear of Hashem, he's automatically entering into the level of Ahavas Hashem. So that when a person is Zeche to Shleimus HaYira, he has already covered 50% of Ahava also. That's how much these two items go together. And in fact, Rabbeinu Zal, in Torah Hey, in Likutei Moran Chelek Aleph, the Torah B'Chatzeis, Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Gemara in Kiddushin, Daf Beis, where the Gemara says, Darkoi shel ish lachzoer achar ho'isha, that between the male and female species, it's the duty and responsibility of the Zohar, the man, to seek out the woman, the female. And Rabbi Nazal explains that we know, al pikabolo, that the level of yira is referred to as nukva, female. The female always represents gevura, and gevura is bigimatria yira. Whereas the male, the zohar, represents chesed, kindness, which is directly in conformity with ahava, love. Rabbi Nazal says, darkei shel ish, lachzer achar ho'isha, means that if a person has the isha, which is the fear of Hashem, the ish will automatically come to seek out the isha. The quality of ahavas Hashem will magnetically be drawn, will seek out the Yirei Shamayim and cling to him. So that again, a person has to strive, especially for Yira. If a person is accomplishing, is growing in fear of Hashem properly, the ahava will be more automatic. It'll come automatically to the person. This is the first section of this year. The second section, we're continuing in the series of shiurim that we were having, discussing the Kiddusha and the significance of Eretz Yisrael based on the Sefer Zimra Sa'oretz, written by Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal, which takes each and every single chapter in the Likutei Moran and shows how all the different concepts and ideals that are discussed in each chapter is found within the Kiddusha, within the description of the Torah of the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. The chapter that we're up to in Likutei Moran is Torah Tes, the ninth chapter in Likutei Moran, that's called Tehoimos Yechasyumu. This chapter was said by Rabbeinu Zal in a shir on Shabbos Shira of the year Tuf Kuf Samach Gimel, which is when Rabbeinu Zal was approximately 30 years old. Rabbeinu Zal was 30 years old at the time that he gave the shir. Rabbeinu Zal begins by saying, Ki ikur hachiyus mekablem mehatfila, that although we know that the entire Torah is referred to many times as life, as living, the Torah is called Eitz Chaim Hilamachzikim Bo, it's a tree of life, and the Pasuk says about it, Ki hu chayecha v'oirech yomecha, that the Torah is the life of a person, that it's only a person that's observant and knowledgeable in the mitzvahs of the Torah that's classified as living. Within the Torah itself, each and every single mitzvah has a different level. And Rabbeinu Zal says, Ki ikar hachiyus hi min atfila, that the main source of spiritual living for a Jew is tefillah, prayer. Kemoi shekosuv, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, chapter 42, tefillah lekel chayoi. My tefillah to Hashem is my life. That is chayoi. That's the main thing, that's my main source of life. And Rabbeinu Zal says, it's for this reason that a Jew is required to see to it that when he davens, to use the energy of every single one of the 613 parts of his body in the tefillah, to really exert himself mentally and physically within tefillah, so that by doing so, the energy of every different part of his body will be nischadesh, will receive new strength, new spiritual strength and new physical strength through this act of tefillah bekoyach, by davening with power. Rabbeinu Zal says, you should know that there are 12 tribes. The Jewish nation is divided among 12 tribes, corresponding to the 12 sons of Yaakov Avinu, which correspond to the 12 different signs of the zodiac, corresponding to the 12 months of the year. The sheep, which is the sign of Nisan, the fish, which are the sign of Adar, the scales, which are the sign of Tishrei, and so on and so forth. These 12 symbols of the zodiac, these Yud Beis Mazolois, correspond to the Yud Beis Shvatim, and Rabbeinu Zal says that each and every single one of the 12 tribes has its own Nusach HaTfilah. It has its own style of Tfilah, and it also has its own private entrance into the throne room of Hashem. The place where these Tfilahs have to arrive at, each and every single Shevet has its own Shar, its own entrance through which their Tfilahs come to Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal says that each and every single Shevet, when they daven to Hashem, they arouse the power of the corresponding sign of the zodiac that corresponds to that Shevet, and that sign of the zodiac shines brightly, it begins to shine better through the tefillah, the energy that it's getting from the tefillahs of all members of the Shevet that correspond to that sign of the zodiac. And this is what allows all forms of sustenance in the world to blossom forth better. This is Megadeh El Hatzemach. This is what helps the plants and all living things in the world to start growing better. V'shar Dvorov Hatzrichem Elov. And all the different things that people are in need of, the members of that Shevet, through their exercising this power of tefillah, they help their mazel, their koichov, to shine better. And this provides them with any sustenance that they need. Rabbein Azal also shows the correspondence between the Koyach HaTfilah and Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea. Just as the Red Sea was split into 12 highways for each and every one of the 12 Shvatim to pass through, so too the Koyach HaTfilah, which represents making a zivug between Hashem and the Shekhinah, which represents being Mefarnes Hashem, giving sustenance, Koyach, to Hashem through our tefillah. Rabbein Azal shows in this chapter how that corresponds to this power of Kriyas Yamsuf. We're not going into the details of this. We're simply taking up this chapter on the Likutei Moran in summary form. Rabbein Azal also points out that it takes a tremendous zechiyah, a tremendous zechus, for a person to be zeche, that his tefillah should enter on the right path, should enter on the right one of these highways that it has to travel on in order for it to reach Hashem. Rabbein Azal also points out that when a person gets up to daven to Hashem, a person is usually confronted with machshavos zorois, with all kinds of outside thoughts and bilbulim, confusion that comes to the person specifically at the time of tefillah. We know that one of the words in Hebrew that means tefillah is the word tehillah. Tehillah ledavid aromimcha. And Rabbein Azal brings in another chapter on the Likutei Moran that the word tehillah is the same letters as the word toholah. Toholah means confusion, bilbul. And Rabbein Azal says that usually the time when a person's brain is bombarded most with outside thoughts is when a person gets up to daven to Hashem. And Rabbein Azal says that this causes the person to find himself in a darkness, in a state of darkness in a sense. It's as if he's surrounded by this thick darkness and he can't move. He's trying to reach out to Hashem. He's trying to shoot a missile at Hashem, this tefillah that he wants to send up. And these outside thoughts, these bilbulim, hover over him like a thick cloud, surrounding him, engulfing him, and not allowing him to escape to Hashem, this concept of escaping to Hashem. Rabbein Azal says you should know that there are openings within this darkness. However, as the Gemara says in Yuma, Habo letame paischem loy, that a person who finds himself in a state of tumah, paischem loy, Hashem creates openings for the person to be able to exit from this. However, Rabbein Azal says the problem is that it's dark. The person doesn't see these openings in a spiritual sense. What can serve as a flashlight, as a beam of light, to guide the person, to direct them to the openings, to be able to crawl out from this darkness, this cloud of bilbulim that's surrounding him during the time of tefillah? Rabbein Azal says this is the power of emes, truth, because the pasuk says about Hashem that Hashem oiri v'yishi, Hashem is my light and Hashem is my salvation. This is what the pasuk says in Tehillim chapter 27. And we know that Hashem says that when a Jew speaks falsehood, this is what takes him out of the presence of Hashem. The pasuk says, Doiver shkorim lo yikoin leneged einai. Hashem says a person who speaks lies cannot stand in my presence, which implies that if a person speaks truth, if a person speaks the truth, if a person is honest, then he's very close to Hashem. As the pasuk says in Tehillim, we say it in Ashrei, Koroiv Hashem l'chol koirov, l'chol asher yikru'uhu ve'emes. That Hashem is the close, Hashem is close to those that call out to him with truth. If Hashem is close to you, then this light of Hashem is also going to be close to you. Hashem is referred to as a beam of light. And this light of Hashem will shine a path for the person to be able to extricate himself from this darkness, from this cloud, and to be able to break away and come close to Hashem. So Rabbeinu Zal emphasizes very much this concept of emes in tefillah, that when a person is davening, the minimum, the super, super minimum that the person should do is strive to say the words with honesty. Every single word that he says in the tefillah, to think of what he's saying, to translate the words into his own language, mentally, in his mind, and to say them with a truthfulness. When we say the words of confession, when we say the words showing how low we are, how far we are from being worthy of being helped by Hashem, or when we discuss the words of praise of Hashem, to see to it to be saying it with a feeling of honesty, as much honesty as we can muster up at the time. And Rabbeinu Zal says this emes in tefillah will help the person climb out of all the bilbulim, all the confusion, all the tohalah, and help the person's tefillah to rise up to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal also emphasizes in this chapter that this is, again, one of the reasons why a Jew has to see to it to attach his tefillah to the tzaddik hador, to the tzaddikim, because it's these tzaddikim who know these highways, these different highways, these different entrances to get to Hashem, and they are the ones who are able to ensure that a person's tefillah will get to where it has to go to. This is pretty much a summary of the major concepts that Rabbeinu Zal discusses in this chapter on Likutei Moran. Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal, in his Sefer Zimras Ha'oretz, shows us how each one of the major points that Rabbeinu Zal mentions here are all found in the description in the Torah that's given of Eretz Yisrael. We know, number one, Rabbeinu Zal discussed religion as chaim, life, and Rabbeinu Zal discussed tefillah specifically as the ikar hachius, the main source of life for a person. We know that one of the nicknames of Eretz Yisrael is called Artzois Hachaim, the land of life. Not Artzois Chaim, Artzois Hachaim, the land of the life. The life is tefillah. Iker Hachius is tefillah. When we say Midbar, desert, it could mean any desert. Hamidbar means the desert, the most important one, the one that we know that you know what we're talking about. When we say Chaim, Chaim means life in general. Hachaim, the life is tefillah. The main source of life is tefillah. And we know, Rabbeinu Zal discussed this concept of the 12 highways of tefillah. We know that when Yaakov Avinu was in the land of Eretz Yisrael, in the city of Yerushalayim, when he had the vision of the Sulam, the vision of the special ladder in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, with angels going up and down on it, we know that when Yaakov Avinu woke up from this dream, his words were, Ma noiro hamokoim hazeh, this place that I'm at right now is awesome. Ein ze kiim beis elikim, this place could only be the house of Hashem, v'zeh shar hashemayim, and this is the gate to heaven. Note, he was referring to the Beis Elikim, which is one of the nicknames of the Beis HaMikdosh, which is the focal point of the Kiddusha of Eretz Yisrael. The main generator of holiness for the entire land of Eretz Yisrael is the Beis Elikim, which is the Beis HaMikdosh. Now, we know that the term Beis Elikim also refers to as a center of tefillah. The Beis HaMikdash was the center for sacrifices to Hashem, of which are synonymous with prayer, with tefillahs to Hashem. Ki beisi, beis tefillah, the pasuk says. Hashem says, my house is a house of prayer. So note, Yaakov Avinu said, Ein zeh kiim beis elikim, v'zeh shar hashamayim. Zeh, zayin hei, is bigimatria 12. This is the location of all 12 highways leading to heaven, that in the land of Eretz Yisrael, it's easiest for a Jew to direct his tefillah to the specific highway that it has to get onto in order for it to get to Hashem, in order for it to go up through the proper channels that his tefillah is supposed to go to get to Hashem. Regarding the bilbulim and these outside thoughts, these machshavos zorois, that a person gets during tefillah, We know that Rabbeinu Zal mentions in other places that this corresponds to the waters of the Mabul. The word Mabul means a flood. When a person feels himself getting hit by this bomb of all of these outside thoughts that bombard the person during the time of tefillah, this represents a concept of being flooded. His brain is being flooded by all of these outside thoughts. Rav Nachman Shigrinzal points out, we know that the Gemara tells us that when the flood hit the world, the one location in the world that was exempt from these waters of the flood was the land of Eretz Yisrael. The main thrust of the waters of the flood did not touch Eretz Yisrael. There were only tiny, tiny droplets that did enter into Eretz Yisrael, but the vast majority of the flood did not strike at Eretz Yisrael. And this teaches us this concept that a person davening to Hashem in Eretz Yisrael, the holiness of Eretz Yisrael itself repels these waters of the flood, this flood of bilbulim, of machshava zoris, of outside thoughts that could weaken a person's tefillah to Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal said also that the main tikkun ha-tefillah is dependent on the light of truth, on the light of emes, and Rav Nachman Shigrinzal reminds us that, note, this light of emes, also the main place for it is in Eretz Yisrael, because Rabbeinu Zal stressed that this light of emes comes from Hashem, Hashem oiri v'yishi, and Hashem rejects falsehood. Doiver shkorm lo'ikoin l'neged einai. A false person cannot be before the eyes of Hashem. That's the exact wording. Note, the Torah describes the praises of Eretz Yisrael, tomid einai Hashem elikecho bo, that the eyes of Hashem are always upon Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael must be this center of emes, this place of emes, which is always within the eyes of Hashem. As the pasuk tells us, Einai benemnei ha'oretz lo sheves imodi. There is a pasuk where Hashem says, my eyes are always gazing upon the trustworthy people of the world, nemnei oretz. So if one pasuk says that Hashem's eyes are always upon the trustworthy, and another pasuk says Hashem's eyes are always upon Eretz Yisrael, we know that these two terms are synonymous. Eretz Yisrael and this power of truth, this ne'emonos. Halavai, each and every one of us should be zeiche to have the proper love and respect for the Kiddush of Eretz Yisrael, and be zeichet to yearn always, to be zeichet to get to Eretz Yisrael, and even when a person is inside of Eretz Yisrael, to be yearning, to feel, and to benefit from all the Kiddusha, all the different attributes and qualities that this holy land has, and we should be zeichet in this zechus of the love for Eretz Yisrael, and the adherence to the words of the Chachamim in Perkei Avos and throughout the Torah, we should be zeichet to get to see the coming of Moshiach, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, b'mhero v'yameinu, amen v'yamein. In other words, the Torah Shebichsav was transmitted to the world to an extent. For example, when Hashem spoke on Har Sinai, the Meforshim tell us Hashem spoke in all 70 languages. He addressed all 70 nations of the world. They heard it. And when Hashem first went peddling the Torah, he went peddling all 613 mitzvahs to all nations of the world. They rejected it. It's the Torah Shebal Peh that was never peddled to them. That's the part that's considered unique to Bnei Yisrael. And there's a chapter on the Kutei Maran later that discusses this whole subject in great detail, the difference between the written Torah versus the oral Torah, that being the distinguishing factor between the Yidden and Lahavdil the Goyim. That's discussed in much more detail in another Torah on the Kutei Maran later and in the Kutei Halachos.